Hello, everyone, and welcome to our presentation today. This is a special presentation for our Shine attendees, and it's with Elena Love, who wanted to be there as a speaker. She had said yes to being there as a speaker, and then another obligation ended up pulling her out longer than she thought, and she couldn't make it. So we were disappointed, and I was really excited about sharing Elena with you. She spoke at our Spring into Vitality event back in June, and she was a rave reviews. She did a great job, and she teaches health practitioners, coaches, chefs how to actually create a meaningful income stream teaching classes. And she's known for raw foods classes, but she's really more than raw foods. She's really into whole fresh foods, plant-based and low glycemic. And the low glycemic is the biggie, because a lot of people are into teaching a lot of classes where they're pouring the agave in and loading everything up with dates. And for those of us who have sensitive blood sugars, a good idea. So Elena, I just drool when I watch her Facebook posts of her classes, because I want to be there. It's like, I want to taste that. They all look amazing and gourmet, and they're all this like super healthy for you. And she really knows the nutrition piece as well, because she knows how to, you know, let's put this herb in there for that, and let's put these foods in there for some other nutrients. So she's going to share with you today how to actually add that extra income stream, you know, get started at least in thinking about that by teaching these classes in your community. And then she's going to do a demo. So take it away, Elena. And I'm going to put myself on mute so I don't make noise here.
Well, thanks, Rita Marie. Thanks for having me here. And you're right. I was really bummed to not be able to come to Shine. I actually was teaching my culinary academy. We do a 3-week training. And so we had chefs here, and there was an event that we needed to kind of push out over the weekend because we were teaching them how to cater. So my passion really is with doing this lifestyle, with teaching people, like Rita Marie said, not just raw foods, but plant-based in general. And my passion has been for a long time to do the low glycemic. Now, when I first got into the raw food lifestyle at the same time I got into plant-based. It was kind of all together. But I got into it, and I, like a lot of people, started out with just eating everything as long as it was raw and it was plant-based. But I was using, like a Rita Marie said, we thought agave back then was actually healthy for us. And I kept wondering why my blood sugar kept dropping every time I ate it. And I was like, there's got to be something up with this. I feel so groggy and sleepy when I eat it. And then finally, lo and behold, and I wasn't testing my blood sugar back then, so I didn't really know, but I could tell in my body how it felt when I ate it. Lo and behold, we figured out, yeah, agave is not so great for us. So that's kind of one thing my saying is, friends don't let friends eat agave, because there's still so many people out there choosing to eat agave and putting it in their products. And I think it's just the reason I love Rita Marie and the reason I love doing what I'm doing is because we're just educating everyone on the best way to eat. And what I love about teaching all of you guys, who are all practitioners and learning how to do this and have it for a living, you know, like this lifestyle, but also teaching other people how to introduce it into their lives, is that we just can spread this information. And the more we spread the information, the more restaurants that are going to pop up, the more products that are available. And I've seen that over the 20 years that I've been into raw foods and plant-based foods. I've actually been doing this since 1997. So it's been quite a while. And I've really seen this movement change. It used to be like people like had no idea what plant-based or vegan or raw foods even were. And now there's restaurants everywhere. There's, like, especially if you go to places like California. And even when I was in Texas, you know, there's just so many options. And you go to Whole Foods and there's plenty of options. So what I want to do today is kind of just talk to you guys about how you can get in more with these people that are already interested. Like, maybe they're going out eating at restaurants, or, you know, they want to know how to do it at home. They want to add special treats. Like, I have a client I was just on the phone with yesterday, and she said, can you come over tomorrow? Because I want you to show me a few things. When I get that real hankering for something sweet, I don't know what to do. And I just need some tips. So actually, that's the recipe I'm going to teach you guys after I give you a talk on how to do presentations. I'm going to show you how to make a really low glycemic chocolate. It's a cluster. It's super easy to make. It's something you can make in 5 or 10 minutes in your kitchen, have it quick and easy, and it's a great demo. Every time I demo this, and I've demoed it in places like farmers markets, Whole Foods, natural grocers, at my classes, this one always seems to be the hit, and this is the one that over and over again I have people tell me, oh, I make that all the time. So those are the kind of recipes you want to pick. You want this, I'm going to talk about this, but you want to show them things that they can do. So an example of that is we had this awesome class not that long ago, and it was kind of for more of my advanced students, people that had been to several classes. But this one guy showed up, and he had actually driven out from California. I'm in Arizona, so he made the 7-hour drive just for this class. He was super excited about it. He came the night before. And he takes the whole class with us, and at the end, I'm like, so what do you think? Are you going to make some of this stuff? And he's like, no, I don't think so. It's too complicated. Because it wasn't a beginner's class, and, you know, I hadn't planned it as a beginner's class because it was a lot of people that were repeats. But just keep that in mind. When people are new, they don't want to learn how to make, like, lasagna or something crazy. They want to learn how to make something quick and easy that they can do in 5 to 10 minutes, and that the ingredients are easy to find and easily accessible. So we'll get into how to make this recipe after I go through my talk with you. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to screen share, because this is straight out of my Academy manual. This is the talk we do in week 3 with our students. So let me just screen share the screen. So it's called Techniques for Raw Food Demos, but of course it can be for anybody that's teaching any kind of class. It doesn't have to be raw food demos. But so I'll go through with you kind of how to do this. And the reason you would want to give classes like this is because as a practitioner, as someone who's telling people you need to eat healthier, the biggest thing people say is, well, okay, how do I do that? And I talk about raw foods or even plant-based foods as learning a new language. Like, people know how to make high glycemic foods. They know how to make, like, boiled potatoes. They know how to do a lot of basic meat and potatoes kind of dishes at their house. But not a lot of people know how to make healthy options. And so many of the healthy options are really easy and basic, but just showing people, like, it's like this aha moment, like even how to cook quinoa, because quinoa is not the same as cooking brown rice. You use way less water. You can add different seasonings into it and make it into this amazing dish just by knowing the right seasonings to add. And it's not rocket science at all, but if people can see you make that in front of them and they get to taste it and go, wow, all that was quinoa with some steamed beets on top and a little drizzle of, you know, MCT oil or, you know, and lemon and salt, you know, but I'm totally in love with this and I can make it all the time. So by you getting in front of them, one is you build an affinity for, you know, the people that you're with. So let's just say, for an example, you do a free class at Whole Foods. This is really easy to do. You can just approach your local, whether it's Whole Foods or a local health food store. You just want to go into them and say, you know, I want to offer a free hour class, you know, and most of those places, Whole Foods for sure, and Natural Grocers is another one. They'll give you all the ingredients for free, and they'll promote your class for you by posting it on their website. So, and I had this happen at both places because I do classes a lot at Whole Foods, and I usually pack the house, standing room only. It's a free 1-hour class, and I just try and really, in those classes, what I'm doing is I'm not there to give a ton of recipes. I'm there more just to sell myself, like to show people, hey, this is what you're going to get if you come to my paid classes. And I offer a lot of different things online that they can come to kind of pull them in to come and see the recipes or see my blog or just different things that I'm offering. And then so as they start to follow me, then as I offer things, they already have a trust built with me. And that's really what giving classes is about, is building a trust with a new clientele. It's also a great way, Rita Marie and I were discussing this, it's a great way to bring in extra income. Because, you know, if you're already doing counseling with people and working with people one-on-one, it's a way to reach groups and at the same time bring in extra income while you're doing it. So the basic thing, what you want to do is, I'm going to go through kind of how to give a demo, and then after that I'll talk about a few ways that you can build up your client base and kind of get the people to come to the classes. So I'm just going to scroll down. I'm not sure how much of my screen you can see, but I'm sure as I scroll, you'll be able to see more of it. So how to choose a recipe, that's pretty important, because you want to make sure you're choosing the right recipe. Even if you're already, like I was saying with this guy, even if I'm a great teacher and I'm teaching something that's awesome, if I don't have the right audience, if it doesn't appeal to my audience, then I've lost them. So you want it to be, the first thing you should do when you're selecting a recipe is it should be right for your ability level. So what that means is you don't want to pick, like I use a lasagna as an example. This lasagna I'm talking about in particular is a raw food lasagna that I do where I make the cheese out of macadamia nuts, and we do a lot of layers, and it's an awesome recipe. It's a great advanced recipe, but you wouldn't want to do that recipe if you only had a short amount of time to teach it, and you also wouldn't want to do it if these were new people that you're just trying to get excited about eating plant-based or eating low glycemic. It might not be the first recipe you want to start with. you might want to start with something really basic. And I love to do beginners classes because I feel like that's where you really pull in the best people. They're the ones that are just like, wow, you showed me how to make a green smoothie and I'm totally sold. Like, that was delicious. I always thought they were gross. What did you do? How did you make it taste so good? So those are the kind of things that are going to get people excited and pull them in. So some examples of things that I do for basic classes is the one I'm going to teach you today, which is chocolate clusters. Then there's also things like green juice, which I do in a blender. I don't even use my juicer anymore, especially when I'm doing demos. I just blend the cucumber and celery and the greens together, and maybe I'll throw in some lemon juice and a little bit of water, blend it all together, and just squeeze it through a nut milk bag like I'm making almond milk, and then you've got instant juice. And that gets people excited too, because most people are thinking, well, how much money do I have to invest in eating healthier? Do I have to go out and buy a $200 to $500 juicer? No, you can show them how to do really quick and easy things in their blender. And that's the thing that I tell people when they're in my level one class or my beginner's class, is all you really need for this lifestyle is a blender and your cutting board and knives. And you know, obviously they're going to have a stove and they're going to have things that they can cook already, the things that they can cook with. So that's kind of already, most people have that. But just for introducing these new foods in, a blender can be amazing, like the amount of things you can do with the blender. So it should be challenging, but not too difficult. What I mean by challenging is, like, if it's something so basic that they already know how to do it, that's not gonna really win them over. So it's gotta be something that's unique and different. And also, you want to think about the facilities that you're at and also the time that you're allotted. So we use 15 minutes as an example because most demos that you give, most food demos, should fit into a 15-minute time slot. So if you have an hour, you want to kind of plan for giving a little intro and talking about, you know, the foods that you're going to be teaching, low glycemic and healing. And, you know, so you want to use the first 10 to 15 minutes just to get everybody settled in. So really you only have like 30 to 40 minutes in between, because at the end you're giving out samples and you're answering questions. So maybe two for a free class, really two recipes is probably all you really need to do. So you want to think about that if it's an hour class. If you're going to be doing a longer class, I recommend to give a 3-hour class if you're going to do a paid class. So the first thing you want to do is set up yourself to give free classes, because that's how you're going to build your client base. If you already have a great client base and you already have people that love what you're teaching them, then you can start offering the charged classes. And the way that you want to do that is 3 hours is a good amount of time, because if you're going to get them there, you don't want to just get them all the way to where your house or wherever you're teaching it for an hour. You want it to be anywhere from, 2 hours is good, but 3 hours is even better, because it just gives you plenty of time to interact with them, for them to taste the food, for you to give, you know, enough value to them. Like, I would say in that, I wouldn't give any more than 8 recipes in 3 hours and no less than 5. So you want to have a variety of recipes. And you also kind of want to think about, for this 3-hour class, that you want them to walk away, if they only ever came to one class, you want them to walk away with a few recipes that are going to become their core recipes. So you would want to think about, okay, I want to teach them how to make some kind of beverage, whether it's a hot elixir that's low glycemic, or a great smoothie that they can have every morning for breakfast, or maybe I want to show them how to make almond milk that they can pour into their coffee or tea every day. So things like that. You also might want to make sure that they have some kind of great basic salad dressing, or, you know, some core recipe that they can use all the time, like a sauce that they can put over salads or over their steamed veggies or roasted veggies, like a coconut curry sauce, something like that. And I do actually have that recipe on my website. So we'll give you all the links at the end. But so that's another great thing to do, is just give them something that's like a core savory recipe that they can do. And then, you know, some other side snacky things, like if you're like, for me, because I focus a lot on raw foods, I'll teach how to make a dehydrated cracker recipe. But what I've done lately is, because I'm getting more into making the foods raw and cooked friendly, is I'll choose like a thing like a tortilla that you can make in the dehydrator, or you can also do it in the oven. And so I'm kind of giving them options. And I have granolas that are like that too, like a pumpkin spice granola that you can bake, or you can do dehydrated. So you want to give people flexibility, and you want to give them variety, and you want them to, the food that you offer them and taste, have them taste, that it tastes delicious and flavorful, and that it doesn't seem too hard to make. So those are kind of your core things. You want it to be easy to make, but a little bit challenging, so that they feel like they got value out of it, because they didn't want to come all that way to learn something they already know how to make. You want it to be really flavorful and tasty. You want to give them enough of it that they feel like they got a good sampling as well, because what I feedback I've gotten from people is, you know, that gal's class, you know, I like what she teaches, but she never gives enough food. Like, you want it for a 3-hour class, if you're charging $100 to $150 a person, you want, I mean, it depends on where you live. That's kind of the going rate for these kind of classes, but you want to give them enough food where they feel like they walked away and they got a meal and they got value out of it. So that's really important, is the value that they're giving, because that's going to help them to come back to the next class. You want them to leave thinking, wow, that was such a great class. I can't wait till her next one. So that's the kind of things you want to be thinking about. And I have this little trick that I do, and I've been doing it for years, and it works so well. Whenever I'm about to teach a class, I always imagine the outcome. That's just, it's just like a habit I got into it. I don't even know how I got into it, but I imagine at the end people coming up to me going, that was such a great class. Oh, I love the food. You're such a great teacher. Just like all the things that I want to portray to them. Like, I feel like I got a lot of value out of your class. So you want to imagine that before you even create your class, of people saying things like that to you, that they value what you're offering them, that they want to be your student or they want to be your client for life because they feel like what you're giving them is so valuable. So those are the kind of things you want to think about as you're planning your class. So the next thing on the list is, says it should be reasonable in cost if you're going to be making a lot of it. And what I mean by that is, I'll use nuts as an example. You could use macadamia nuts in a cheese that you're making. Like, we do a cheese in the blender that's made with either macadamia nuts. But if you're doing it for a free class, or you're doing it for a class where you're trying to, you know, keep your budget down, you might want to consider using something that's less expensive, like doing a sunflower seed cheese, or, you know, something where the cost isn't going to be prohibitive. If you're doing it for a client who's paying for the ingredients and cost is no object, then you can think about using more expensive things. But the other thing is, if you're teaching these people how to make this food and they're thinking the whole time, man, pine nuts are $24 a pound, I'm never going to make this recipe. So you want to, even though someone gave them to you for free and you're like, oh, I've got pine nuts, I can use these, you want to think about what people are going to be able to walk away and be able to pay for. So, because I do hear that sometimes with the raw food diet and even with like healthier eating, people say, oh, it's expensive, but it doesn't have to be. You can use things like avocados for your fats and your recipes. You can use seeds instead of nuts, which are actually easier to digest. And you can sprout them ahead of time, which increases their volume. It usually almost doubles in size when you sprout or soak something. So those are kind of the things you want to think about with your cost. You want it to fit into a healthful eating style, obviously. So we're not going to be making something that's just super loaded with fat or super loaded with oil. And of course, we already know about low glycemic, but a lot of people make the mistake of, like Rita Marie said in the beginning, using agave all over everything. And then it doesn't feel like a very healthy option. They're like, I'm not going to make that cheesecake because it's way too sweet and it's not very healthy for me. The other thing that you want to have is, you want to have, it has to have color, texture, and taste appeal. So whenever I'm doing a demo, like I'm just thinking of the cheesecake. I was just talking about using nuts. So I'll do a cheesecake. And I know Rita Marie talks a lot about cashews. You could make an amazing cashew cheesecake that's not very expensive, which is beautiful and it's appealing and it tastes a lot like cheesecake. It's a vegan cheesecake. And then you want it to have color. So you could put something like beautiful, bright colored berries over it and a mint leaf. So you want to think about that when you're demonstrating something. You always want it to be plated beautifully after you've made it. So you want to think about, if I'm making a cheesecake, I need to make one the day before so it's ready to go. And then when I plate it, I want it to look beautiful so people want to take photos of it and have that appeal where people just can't wait to eat it, because people eat with their eyes first, right? So you want everything you make. And the reason I'm even bringing this up is because a lot of times with vegan foods or raw foods, I hear, or I've heard in the past, it looks like gray paste, like especially if you're making a pate or even things with brown rice, or, you know, I know you guys don't use a lot of brown rice, but even things with grains in them, like people just kind of forget to make it look beautiful and appealing. So that part is really important. And if you don't know about how to plate foods, just go on Pinterest and look at some of the beautifully plated, just type in plant-based, you know, recipes and look at how people plate things. And it's really beautiful. So you want to kind of educate yourself before you do this on like the best way to plate something. So if it's your first time doing demonstrations, you want to keep it simple, make something you really like. And that way you have a strong familiarity with it. So what that means is, when you're talking about it, say, let's just say you're making your favorite almond milk and granola recipe for people. you have already a story to tell. Like, I'm going to make, show you guys how to make my favorite breakfast. And I got into this because, you know, I started eating this because I switched off of grains. And so I went to the seed granola, and I love the using almond milk instead of cow's milk. And here's why not to eat cow's milk. So you have a whole story around it. And even you can even talk about, like, you know, bring in a story from your childhood, like, yeah, I used to eat cereal all the time, and I was so bummed when I had to stop eating it. So when I found this recipe, it really made a huge difference in my life, and I could felt like I could finally have granola again, and it doesn't have all the oats and the you know, heavy grains and things that make me sleepy. I actually have energy after I eat it. And then you can ask them a question like, who out there wants to have energy every morning after they eat their breakfast and still have a filling breakfast? So people kind of can get on board with you. So when you have something that you're already really familiar with, that's going to really make a difference in how you present it. Because if you're nervous and like, and you never want to say things like, and I'm just teaching you what I teach my students, you never want to say things like, oh, I'm really nervous because I've never done this before, because everybody in the audience is voting your victory, right? Everybody wants you to see. They're there to have a great presentation. So if they feel like you're not comfortable doing this, or, oh, I've never made this recipe before, I hope it turns out. Like, you never want to say anything like that. You want to come up there with confidence. So the reason I'm saying that is because it says practice, practice, practice. You want to already know how to make these foods before you start teaching them. You don't want it to be something you just picked out the night before and it's like, I think I'll make this zucchini pasta even though I've never made it. Like, you want to practice it a few times and even have some stories to tell about how your friends like it. So then here's some other things to consider. Who's your audience? So if you're teaching to athletes versus seniors, that's going to be a completely different audience, right? So I live here in Arizona, and a lot of the classes I teach, the free ones I teach at, especially Natural Grocers, I get a lot of seniors coming in there. And I made the mistake once of having the recipes online and not printed, and I did not hear the end of it until I had someone in the store go print the recipes, because half of them didn't have computers or internet access or things like that. So you really want to think about who your audience is. The other thing with that is, if you're serving athletes, you want to kind of think about, like, hey, what's a quick and easy after workout meal, like a blended smoothie with protein powder in it, versus seniors aren't going to be as interested in that. They're going to be more interested in things that, you know, are satisfying, easy to make, and maybe easy to chew. Women over 40 are going to be a different audience than young women as well. It's because we all have different calorie needs. We have different energy needs. So you want to kind of think, obviously, children, you're going to have a different focus for them too. So whoever your audience is, create a menu around that. And I even bring up spices in there because, you know, elderly people generally don't like spices, and neither do young people. So, but some people love spices. So a lot of times, just as an example, if I'm doing something that's spicy, I'll keep the spice on the side and I'll make a spicy sauce and let the people that want it, like, go crazy and add it into their dish. So those are the kind of things you want to think about too. So what is your repertoire of classes that you deliver with confidence? So this is something you're going to want to decide and think about creating. There's some different class topics that you can come up with. My favorite thing to do is do ethnic cuisine because it's really easy and people love it. They're like, what's the next one that you're going to be teaching? So Italian, Thai, Mexican. And there's so many great recipes out there. I mean, I have recipe books. I know Rita Marie has recipes. There's a lot of awesome low glycemic plant-based recipes out there. You guys can even check my website. There's a lot of free recipes on there you can try out. And those all work. So that's great to know also that the recipes you're making and that you're showing to people actually work, so that when they go home to make it, they don't have it, you know, that it works out. And you want to think about the way you're typing the recipe as well to make it easy to follow. So I have it here at the class topics. The first one is the basic fundamentals. So if you're building a new audience, you want to start with the basics. You want to talk about why plant-based is important, why low glycemic is important, how to heal your body on these foods. So these are all the basic things you want to cover in your first class, and then give, you know, a few recipes on how to go home and do that. And then you can start offering these classes, you know, to your repeat clientele once a month, or you can do a 4-week series where they come every, you know, every Monday night for a month, however you want to lay it out. It's totally up to you. I find I've tried kind of all different time spots, and I find that Sunday afternoons seem to work really well, and sometimes Saturday evenings work well. And then weeknights can work well depending on your audience and if you're aiming at more at working people versus at home people. I find that a lot of times moms don't have anybody to watch their kids, so weekends are great because the husband or the dad can watch the kids. So other topics are desserts. Cleansing and detox is one of my favorites. I love people showing people how to make juices and smoothies and talking about how to detoxify your body. That could be a whole course in and of itself. It's like 4 detoxifying recipes, including a tea, a juice, a smoothie, and some kind of veggie broth. So it's all liquids, and get them to go on a 3-day or a weekend cleanse. And those are great in January. Start thinking about what you want to offer next year. Like, get people started at the beginning of the year with this detox and cleanse. And then if they lose some weight or they feel better, then they're going to want to come back to everything else you have to offer. And with the cleansing and detox, you might even want to offer that 4 times a year. Like, every change of seasons, we're doing a weekend detox. We do it as a group. So you teach the class at the beginning, or maybe even record it so that for the next time you don't have to do it live. You could just have it recorded for the new people that are joining in, because you might have a lot of repeats. Either that, or just change up the recipes a little bit each time. It's totally up to you. And you're going to kind of find your groove with this. I'm giving you guys a lot of ideas and a lot of examples because I want you to start just thinking with your mind. And the reason I'm talking with you guys this way, what I wouldn't talk to beginners with, is I know you're already practitioners. You've been to Rita Marie's courses. You've already been thinking about how to build your business and how to grow a business. So, like, thinking about teaching a cleansing and detox class is probably so much easier for you guys to think about, because you already know how to test blood sugar. You know about what it means to detoxify your body and eat cleansing foods. So it's kind of a no-brainer. But if you don't, I would recommend doing a liver flush or doing some kind of colon cleanse. Learn how to do enemas on yourself and, like, kind of research into different detoxes. And like, I offer a liver flush course on my website, and that includes 9 recordings of videos I've done, which I've recorded, like, how to make the foods, and then I also give a talk every morning. So the original one was a live webinar, and then after that, we just sell it as a course, and they get the manual with it, and they can order all the products that come with the cleanse. So that's something that you could start offering to people in your area. And you know, but teach yourself first how to do it. Like, do a cleanse, do some of these things, and experience it for yourself, so then you're an expert on it. If you've done 3 cleanses, you're pretty much, and you're already teaching, you're pretty much an expert on cleansing, because you've kind of seen how it works. You can have friends do it with you so you can understand what their cleansing experience is, because everybody's a little bit different. I used to think everybody cleansed the way I did, but then I realized we all have such completely different bodies that not everybody experiences everything the same, especially if they're coming from a place of being really sick. So another class would be beverages and elixirs, which I kind of just touched on. Chocolates. I have a chocolate making class that we've done once, and we had a full house, and we're doing another one this week from Saturday. And people just come, I show them how to make chocolate, then I give them the chocolate bar molds that I bought just a bunch on Amazon, and everybody gets to flavor their chocolate. Like, I give them the base chocolate that I already made. Then they get to, I show them how to decorate it, and they get to pour it into the bar mold and put their own little toppings on, like goji berries or cacao nibs, and just make it flavored. They can flavor it in the bowl before they put it in the bar mold. So they get to go home with 3 chocolate bars, and we give them a bag for it. They let them set up in the fridge. But anyway, so that's a fun class. I charge only $35 for that because it's a really quick and easy class. And the ingredients just really aren't that expensive for me to do that class. And it's a great way to prep people for other things that I'm doing. So that's kind of a fun one. And everybody loves learning how to make chocolate. You can do a whole class on dehydrated foods, on kid foods. So you get the idea. There's so many different ways that you can do this. So back to what you want to consider is how much time you have to prepare for the class, and how much assistance you'll have before, during, and after the class. Never, ever underestimate the value of an assistant. You need someone there to help you. And the reason for that is, it's showing that my internet connection is unstable. I hope I'm okay. The reason for that is because you might have forgotten something, and whoever's there assisting you needs to go find it for you, or you need someone to serve samples, or you need someone to find a spatula for you, or you need someone to wash the blender because you're using the same blender for 3 different recipes. On and on. You're not even going to realize how important an assistant is until you have one. So I would just never show up at any class without someone to assist me. And if they have experience with you, even better. So whoever this assistant's going to be, you want them to come the night before or the day before, whenever you're prepping for the class, and have them really get involved with you in setting up the demo trays and just all the different things that you need done. And I'll get a little bit more into that. I'm realizing I'm taking a long time to explain this, and I might run out of time, so let me keep moving here. So you also, you know, obviously you think about things like your logistics, if you're going to have electrical outlets. I use that as an example because sometimes someone in a yoga studio will say, hey, you want to teach a class here? We've got, you know, all these people that teach, that do yoga that would love to learn how to eat healing, healthy foods. And then you show up and the only sink you have is a little tiny bathroom sink and the electrical outlet is like on the other side of the room. So you want to check out your facility. And if it's not, like if I'm going to teach in Texas and I'm not there, I might go on Skype with the person and say, can you walk me through the room? Just show me what the facilities look like so I don't go in blind. So you want to think about that as well. Like, where are you going? Do you need an extension cord? Which, by the way, always have an extension cord because you just never know. Talks a little bit about sliding scale. I haven't edited this, but I haven't found sliding scale to be as effective as I would like, because if you offer a price range from $75 to $150, 90% of the people are going to give you the $75 instead of the $150. So I've kind of stopped using the sliding scale because I feel like whatever you charge for the class, it's a good value because you've decided it's a good value. And just also on that note, realize that whatever you decide you're worth is what you're worth. And so it's hard for me to tell you what to charge, because someone could be comfortable charging $50 and feel really good about that. And maybe they're just teaching super inexpensive recipes. And someone else is like, I'm not going to do a class unless I can get $150 a person and get at least 10 people there, you know, minimum 10. So you want to think about what your minimum maximum is. And you want to also let people know up front that if I don't get 10 people, you know, the class has a possibility of needing to cancel. But that doesn't happen to me. You just decide you're going to do the class and you just make it happen. So this is just kind of talking about how to arrange and use your equipment. I just kind of have suggestions, and we're going to send you this document so you guys can go over it later. I'll have Rita Marie make sure she emails you guys this document. But it's just talking about how to set up for your demo. You want to use small containers for small amounts and large containers for large amounts. And what I mean by that is you don't want to use a big glass to put like 2 teaspoons of cinnamon powder in. You want to use like those tiny little, the great ones to use, I bought these little rubber reusable tiny little cupcake molds or silicone, so you can wash them out every time. Something like that, like they're just these little flexible cupcake molds. I think I actually have one here, yeah, because I'm going to show you guys the demo later. So something like this that's flexible, you can throw it in your suitcase if you're going somewhere else to demo. And the other thing is just using like little tiny Dixie cups or little tiny sample cups that they have at places like Whole Foods. You just want everything to look neat. I talk about not having a hodgepodge look, which to me means a brown glass and then a clear glass and then a big tall thing and then a short thing and like all awkward and looking like you went to a garage sale to pick up your items. You want like all the same color or at least a same theme of like, these are 3 different colors, but they're all the same bowl. So if that makes sense to you, like you want it to look uniform and look good and look like you kind of thought it out ahead of time. And the same goes for how I have my other ingredients are just in different cups. Okay, so then you also want to think about having a clear glass mixing bowl. You don't want to mix your food in a big metal bowl. You want people to be able to see what you're doing, unless you have an overhead camera, which most of us don't. And then you want to buy a couple cafeteria trays if you're going to be doing demos a lot, because that's something that really comes in handy. So some trays to put things on. You always want to be prepared, and you guys can read this list later, with things like towels and sponges and spatulas and your chef knife and your spoons. So I've given you guys here like a kind of a checklist of things you want to bring with you and things you want to have while you're doing your demo. I just talk about how to set up the table. If you're right-handed or left-handed, you want to have your equipment on the side that's comfortable for you. I talked about having matching bowls, clear glasses, note cards. So you want to, you know, if you're someone that's doing this for the first time and you feel like you're nervous, get those 3x5 or 4x6 note cards, write your recipe out on that, and maybe have notes on like, talking about the importance of basil and the healing benefits of cinnamon and why maca is great for hormone balancing. So you might forget. So if you have it written down, it's going to be a much better way to prompt yourself instead of just drawing a blank. So having cue cards or having these little note cards will help ease your presentation and go through them easier. You also want to have something like a hand washing bowl, and it says not see-through. And what that means is you don't want to see food swimming around in a clear glass bowl sitting on the demo table, because that's not appetizing. You want to have a water pitcher out for drinking for yourself and also for using in recipes. And so you guys can go through this list later, just all the different things you want to have there while you're doing your presentation. And so when you're doing your presentation, it's really important to go through these 3 parts of a presentation. And you guys, anybody who's taken speech before probably already knows what that is. It's the introduction, the body, and the summary.
So let's talk a little bit about, I think down here I have, just want to find where it is, the introduction. Maybe I'll just talk about it because I don't see it here. It might be down lower. But you want to, so the first thing you want to do in the introduction is you want to build rapport with your audience. And that means you want to start by asking a question, having people raise their hand and feel like they're part of the group, right? Hey, you know, who's new to, like, who's here for the first time, or here, who's interested in making foods that don't spike your blood sugar and that make you feel amazing and they taste delicious, but you feel great afterwards. So you can like ask questions that of course you're gonna get a response to, and then it gets people feeling like they're involved. If you have a small group, you can ask everybody's name, but if you have a large one, you might just say, you know, who's here from out of town, or you know, you can say, start with a joke, say something funny, tell a story. That's always a great way to build rapport. Just a little story about like why you're so excited to be there and like something that's interesting to them. So something that should make them want to listen and see the importance of what you're doing. So the body part is the doing part of the demonstration. It's where you're actually following the steps and preparing the recipe. I have on here that posters are a good visual to keep you on track if you're not handing out recipe packets. So a lot of times you're just gonna usually print out your recipe packet and people can just follow along with you. If you're in a situation, maybe you're at a festival where there's 300 people, there's no way you're going to be able to hand out that many recipes. So you could use something like a poster that's big that has all the ingredients listed. You could have talking points up there, or a PowerPoint if it's on, you can have it on a big screen, which I did when I was at the last event that I did with Rita Marie. I had it on the screen so people could follow along up there. So you just want to make it easy for people not to check out, to be able to follow along with you. Because sometimes they like, what is she doing up there? So you want to keep checking in with them, making sure that you're engaging constantly. Don't get lost in your recipe. You know, you want to keep looking up, making eye contact, involving people, even asking for a volunteer if it's appropriate, like to help you make the nut milk, something like that. And then you can even talk to them about things like, what's the nutritional value of things? That's a great way to bring people in. You can talk about the cost. This nut milk costs about $1.50 per quart, while box milks from the store cost about $3.50, so you save $2. And you can even talk about why they wouldn't want to buy box milks, because they're full of rancid oils and, you know, chemicals, and even the healthy coconut milk has products in it that you don't even really know what it is you're getting. So it's always important to tell them why it's valuable that you're giving them this recipe. You can talk about the importance of each ingredient. Why am I using miso in this recipe? Because it gives your nut cheeses a cheesy and salty flavor and makes it taste more like real cheese. So things like that. You always want to talk about food safety a little bit. You want to give people trust. Tell them the importance of keeping their cutting boards and work surfaces clean. Talk about how you washed your hands before you started or wear gloves. Just things that give them confidence in you, and you just talk about cleanliness. That always makes them feel more comfortable. You can give them serving ideas on how to serve these meals. A history of the recipe, like where you learned about it and why you're so excited about it. And then in the end, you're going to do your summary, which you include all the key points of the recipe. And then you have a call to action. So in the summary, in the conclusion, you want to say, you know, I've taught you guys 5 recipes today, and I really want to encourage you guys to go home this week and make at least 3 of those recipes. Who's willing to go do that? And then you kind of get agreement from the audience. Or, you know, next time you pass that produce aisle and you see that parsley there, make sure to grab some because you know how good it is for cleansing your kidneys. And it's going to be awesome in this blueberry smoothie that I just taught you. So you're kind of call to action. Like you put the visual in their mind of produce aisle, seeing the parsley, remembering you and the blueberry smoothie you taught them. So you're actually putting your mind, yourself in their mind for the next time they go into that store, and they're going to want to remember like what to do. I just talk about appearance here. You want to make sure that you look clean and neat and organized. You want to be clear and confident in the way you speak. So you kind of just want to have all that really beautiful together. You shouldn't wear nail polish when you're making food either, because it can chip off into the food. And if people see chipped nails, it's never a good thing. Talked about using clear bowls. Using a large enough bowl. If you've got a big thing you're trying to mix and you're doing it in a dinky bowl and everything's falling outside the bowl, that doesn't look good either. I talked about also you don't want to make the recipe longer than 12 to 15 minutes. And talked about the hand washing bowl. And just talked about working quietly. What I mean by that is if you have a metal spoon on a metal bowl, you keep banging it, and especially if you have a microphone, that can kind of start to get obnoxious. Working on a wax paper is a great way to do it if you're at a place where you can't clean up, because you could like peel your beet or whatever onto wax paper, and at the end you can just fold it up and put it away so your whole board is purple when you're done. It's just another little trick. Talk while you're working is important. What I mean by that is if you have a 15-minute recipe and you've decided to shred a carrot in the class, but you're just quietly shredding the carrot, you need to have some stories on your note card, save some stuff. Don't say everything up front, because you want to save some of those stories or even the facts about carrots until you get a quiet time. So you want to kind of have some things in your back pocket. You might not ever even need to use them, but it's great to have a funny story to tell or an interesting story or just something to talk about while you're peeling the carrot. And you want it to be on point. You don't want to be some random like, oh, when I was in my car earlier, this, that, and the other happened. And it needs to be relative to the recipe or to at least to food or to health. The other thing is, this just talks about like if you're nervous ahead of time. Just the more prepared you are, the better it is. The more your demo trays are ready. You don't want to be rushing. You want to be ready early rather than late. Take off things like rings, bracelet, anything that's going to be distracting. And also, obviously, we know this, don't chew gum. It's just kind of funny that I have it on there. Have an apron or something to make you look clean. You know, tie your hair back, things like that. Take a few slow, deep breaths. This is all, and then you can read this later before you do it. So then you can also give people evaluation sheets when you're done, just to find out how you did, what people liked, what they didn't like. And that's kind of it for the recipe portion of doing this, for how to give a demo. And then the other thing I want to talk about, so I'm going to stop screen sharing and I can kind of go back over to where I was. The other thing you want to do, like, so how do you build your audience? I talked a little bit about giving free classes, but what you want to do is give at least 3 free classes a month when you're first starting out. And these could be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. They can be really short. And the reason you want to give as many free classes as possible is you're trying to build your client base. You're trying to build your audience. So especially if you've never done raw food classes, or I shouldn't say raw food, if you've never done like food classes before, you want to kind of get people in the area knowing that you're there and what you're offering. So, you know, examples could be if you're going to a health food store that doesn't have a kitchen, you could even just be standing in the produce aisle and giving like a little mini demo on how to make a kale salad and just giving out samples. We go to farmers market a lot here in Tucson. We have a Thursday night farmers market that we do, and we get so many people from that. Actually, our last chocolate class had mostly people that had met us at the farmers market. And Caitlin and Nicole, who work here as well, they go down there and just give out samples and talk to people about how to make the food and blend things up, show how to make almond milk, things like that. And it gets people excited. And we just have people that just keep coming back over and over again for samples, and they get really interested in like, oh, I had no idea you could make your own nut milk. I mean, that one right there is a biggie. Just teaching people how to make their own almond milk is huge. So the more free classes you can give out, and you can approach churches, you can approach any different, like meetups are great because you can just offer free classes, like start your own meetup group and offer free classes for the first couple months until you build a base, and then you can start doing your paid classes. And so like, there's just, I mean, the more you collect people's email addresses and the more you get out in front of people, the stronger you're going to build your business and the more you're going to just build people. And food's such a great way to bring people in because everybody has to eat. Most people, if you ask them, say they want to eat healthy, but they're not always doing it for whatever reason. Usually it's time or it's just not knowing how to make it or what to do. So this is something, the reason that doing raw or doing health food classes, healthy eating classes, are so important is because everybody's eating. It's not something that's ever going to go away, and so you're just educating people on the best way to do it. And so the more free stuff you can give, then you can start charging, and then you just kind of get your theme going. Like you're, if you want to do the series like I talked about, it could even be something like you do a weekend course every 3 months. So it doesn't have to be like one a week. It could be one a month, or it could be, you know, once you start building this, or it could be where you give a 3-day weekend or a 2-day weekend every change of seasons, like I talked about the detox course or something like that. And that's where you can bring people in and get them in person. You can do things like renting out an Airbnb and doing it there. You can do it at your own house if you have a big house like I do. I have plenty of room to bring people out here. Any place that you can do it. You can have other people that want to volunteer their house. They get the class for free if they have a big house. And then a lot of times they end up bringing their own friends in. You can also ask people if, you know, if they want a class, you almost treat it like a party where you say, okay, great.
do you have 10 friends that would be interested in coming to it? So they can start recruiting their own friends in order to get the class. And I've done that a lot as well, especially when I'm out of the area, not in my same area. So just because we're getting short on time here, I want to roll into this demo. And I'm going to show you guys how to make chocolate clusters. And I'm going to give you, Rita Marie, this recipe as well, so you guys will all get this email to you. And it's a really basic, like I said, basic and easy recipe, and it's got a lot of ingredients that you already understand and know about, so it'll be really easy to teach, and it's also tastes delicious, and it's super quick and easy. So we want to start, so this is called chocolate clusters, and I call them little clusters of goodness. And the other part I have on here is perfect when you want dessert now, because how many times have we come home from work or from a yoga class or from exercising and like, I want a treat, I want something, but I don't want to make something, I don't want to bake it, I don't want to take a lot of time, whatever it is. I just want it now. So this is something, if you have the ingredients in your cupboard, which most of you that are already in health probably have most of it already. So let's just get started. We want to start with our coconut oil, and this calls for 3/4 cup of coconut oil. And this coconut oil actually, you can see, is solid. And the way we do that in Arizona, because it's usually almost always liquid here except for in the winter, is we just popped it in the fridge for 10 minutes, and it even says that on the recipe. So you can see it kind of slid right out into the blender. You want it to be not so rock solid that it won't blend, so it has to be like soft, like butter. Think of it as the same consistency as butter that's been sitting out for 5 minutes. Like kind of soft, but not too soft. Okay, I'm back on full screen, great. Okay, so next thing we want to do is add our sweetener. So with us, because we use low glycemic, we're going to use Lakanto. And I know Rita Marie's talked about it a lot, but Lakanto is basically monk fruit sweetener. And it's a brand name, and you can find it now online really easily and in most health food stores. And it's got monk fruit in it, which helps lower the blood sugar. And the erythritol that's mixed in there is totally low glycemic. It's only a 7 on the glycemic index, so it doesn't spike blood sugar in people, and especially in diabetics. So the next thing we want to do is add a little bit of stevia. Even though I have a Lakanto in there, I like stevia as a booster, and I'm using a white powdered stevia. This is a stevia that I found that does not have a bitter aftertaste. It's actually fermented instead of just processed. So they take the green stevia leaves and they ferment them. So it turns it white, but it's still the whole leaf stevia, and it doesn't have a bitter aftertaste. So I really love that. That's actually available on my website. It's called Sweet Stevia. The next thing is medicine flower essence. Now, I'm not sure if all of you guys have heard of this, so you could just use vanilla extract. You could use like a teaspoon of vanilla extract. In today's recipe, I'm just, because I have it, I have a coffee essence that doesn't have caffeine in it. It's the CO2 extraction, so it's a real flavoring. It's not from a chemical. So it has all the flavor of coffee without the caffeine effect. So for people that love coffee, the taste of coffee, but don't want the caffeine, I'm just putting in about 6 drops of that. And you could also put in vanilla if you want to. The next ingredient I'm going to add is my cacao powder. Now, if you're someone that doesn't do cacao, you could also do carob powder, which I love in this recipe as well. The carob powder is actually, you should get lightly toasted, or roasted, it's sometimes called, and that'll give it a darker, richer color. But today I'm going to use the raw cacao powder. And the difference between cacao and cocoa is that cacao is raw, so it's less processed. And all the healing health benefits of the chocolate are still in there, like the theobromine, the PEA, which is the phenylethylamine. I should have that right now. But it's PEA.
Phenylethylamine.
What's that?
Phenylethylamine.
Thank you. Okay, so now I'm going to add the salt. So we always add salt to, or I always add salt to my dessert recipes. I'm using a high mineral salt, Himalayan salt, because it actually just brings out the flavor and things, and also a little pinch of cayenne. All right. Rita Marie, am I still on the screen? Because I see your name on there, so I just want to make sure that they can see what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're on there.
Great. Okay. So I'm just kidding. So now what I'm doing is I've got the Vitamix. You can use any blender, or you could even use a small food processor. I think most people these days, usually when I poll the audience, almost everybody has a Vitamix. It's just, now it's become a normal thing, which is so hilarious to me. But any kind of blender will work. You just want to basically blend up that coconut butter with these other ingredients. So I'm just going to start on low and kind of get it to stir up a little bit.
I'm
That's perfect, and I don't want to blend it so long that I liquefy the coconut oil too much, because I want it to have a little bit of consistency to it. The reason we refrigerate it is because if you put liquid coconut oil in here, it's going to be too soupy, and you'll see what I mean when I start adding the ingredients in. I'm just going to kind of blend it real quickly just to get that one lump blended up. That should be good. So now I've got my clear bowl. Hopefully you guys can see this. I'm going to put it right in the middle so that we can see exactly what I'm doing. And I'm going to add that base to it. So this is my chocolate, sweet chocolate, yummy. It looks like frosting, which this, by the way, does make a great frosting if you refrigerate it and you don't have the other stuff in. You can use this to frost things or use it as a chocolate syrup. It's super yummy. All right, so I want to get all of that out of there. And this is why I say this is quick and easy, because that's basically all it is. And then you're just going to add your different toppings. And I've given you four options. It says cacao nibs, which are the raw cacao nibs. I'm going to sprinkle those in. Goji berries, which are so awesome for you. Good for the kidneys, good for the eyesight. Super antioxidant. And I like the taste of them. They're nice and chewy. They're way less glycemic than raisins. So that's another awesome option. And then dried coconut. So this is kind of the base of your recipe. It's dried, shredded. It's also known as desiccated coconut. And you can get that in the bulk section at Sprouts or Whole Foods. Or I actually order most of my stuff online now from Thrive Market. It's a great online store that's way cheaper than Whole Foods or most of the, even Amazon and a lot of things. So Thrive Market, we can send you the link to that too when we send you all the information. It's a great source for a lot of these ingredients. So you can see now it's kind of thickening up. And then the last thing I'm gonna do, just, you don't have to do it, but I have some Brazil nuts. Your recipe calls for any soaked and dehydrated nut like walnuts, almonds, pumpkin seeds. Brazil nuts are one of those nuts that you don't have to soak. So what I like about it is it's going to stay dry and crunchy, because sometimes if you soak nuts, they're going to be too wet, and then you have to dehydrate them, which not everybody has the time to do, especially if you're teaching a new class. People are like, what's a dehydrator? Like, I don't have one of those. So Brazil nuts are great because they're so high, and you guys probably know they're high in what? Selenium! So two Brazil nuts a day will give you your selenium needs for the day. So that's really awesome to know and to incorporate into your diet. And I kind of drool whenever I think about Brazil nuts, so I know my body needs whatever's in there. So if there's some kind of nut or seed that you just crave and you can't get enough of, there's probably something awesome in there for you. Pumpkin seeds is another one where I get really excited when I think about them. So I'm sure it's the zinc or something in there that I really need. So I've chopped these nuts down. Don't want to chop them too far down. You want them to have some chunkiness to them. And then we're just going to go ahead and stir that up. And I want to work a little bit quickly before that coconut oil really starts to melt, because I want these to stay kind of all together. And what I mean by that is once the coconut oil is liquefied, it kind of all falls to the bottom and you don't have a good base to scoop. So now that it's like this, I can take either, if you have a little ice cream scoop, this works great. Just take it and scoop it into your ice cream scoop and put it right onto your plate. You can line your plate with wax paper. I'm going to do the two spin method because I actually kind of like this better. If you line your plate with wax paper, it'll be less likely to stick, but I just use like a little metal spatula to get these off the plate, and that works really well too. So you're just using a plate, popping it into your fridge. These will last 4 months in your fridge if you don't eat them all first. But people always say, how long do they last? They don't go bad because there's no water in here. So that's the great thing about this recipe, is everything is shelf stable. So I don't have to worry about it going bad. You can freeze these as well. I usually like them better out of the fridge. But one thing to know is you can't leave these out at room temperature if it's warm. If you want to make clusters that are great at room temperature, you just want to switch out the coconut oil for cacao butter. So it calls for 3/4 cup of coconut oil. I would switch to 1/2 cup of melted cacao butter, and that will be the equivalent of the same amount of the 3/4 cup of coconut oil. And then that way they'll be stable at room temperature. So they're starting to melt a little bit, so I'm going to want to pop them in the fridge. But you can check back in literally 5 minutes, and these should be solid. And they taste awesome out of the fridge. They're just little yummy haystacks. You don't have to feel guilty about eating them because the coconut oil is actually the one oil that bypasses the liver. And so you don't have to process that through your liver. And also, I say burns as fuel because it's just a good way to kind of put that image in your mind. It's the one fat that you can actually use as an energy source. So if you're about to work out, this is a great, oh, I need a couple hundred calories before I go on that run. A cluster is the perfect thing. You can add spirulina into this recipe too. If you're someone that wants like green powder in your food before you exercise, spirulina is super high in protein. So you can add like a tablespoon of spirulina into this recipe and even get the effects of the spirulina while you're on your run or you're doing your yoga or your fitness. You can always grab them too when you just need a quick and easy snack any time of day. If you're going to be a late night snacker, I would switch from cacao to carob powder just so you're not laying awake. But I hope you guys enjoyed this talk today, and please let me know if you have any questions, and I'll send Rita Marie the recipes and the talk that I showed you so you guys can check back in. But I'd love to hear from you if right now if you have any questions, or even later if you want to email me or message me.
Thank you. That was awesome. I really enjoyed it. I love watching you do it. You're so much more organized than I am when I do demos. So it's fun to watch. A lot of people said that's Sharon just said that's great. Thank you much. Lynn wanted to know about do you do interactive? And I think you, I heard you mention bringing people up for demos because I think that's a great idea. Interactive.
Yeah. I love doing the interactive, and a lot of times if people are in the front row, I kind of like talk to them individually. It's kind of like being in a comedy club a little bit. Like you kind of joke with them. Hey, this young girl here is like eating it all or whatever. But then I do hands-on classes, but that's a different price point.
Yeah.
And you have to have enough equipment. So that's a whole different thing.
Right.
Maybe we can do another talk on that once you guys start doing. But I would start out with just demonstration only. Especially for a 3-hour class, there's just not enough time.
Right. I've done them where they've been a whole weekend, where we did a whole Thanksgiving feast in 2 days and brought them in the first day. But we had to have 6 blenders and food processors, and it just takes a lot of space. But it was awesome. People loved it.
One way around that I've done is have people bring their own equipment. It's just part of the class.
Oh.
And then so they already have a blender. So they show
sure.
up.
Sure. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. That's a great idea. Super. A lot of thank you very much. This has been great. Cassandra, yum. Lynn says it's good. That'd be a perfect recipe for her next class. She's planning to do some holiday classes.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Just on the note of the holiday class, if you did use spirulina in there, which not everybody loves, but you could do the red goji berries with the greens.
Oh, yeah. Make it Christmassy. Absolutely.
Green cool.
Yeah. I think that's it. It looks like there's no questions. Does anybody have a question? Go ahead and open up your mic. You can unmute yourself and just ask, and we can have a little discussion. And if you want to, you know, just say hi in person and wave to us, go ahead and open up your camera as well. Anybody? Avis, Carol, Cassandra, Elaine. We got a whole bunch of people. We ended up with over 20 people. All right.
Okay. I'll open it up.
Hi. Hi, Lynn.
Hey. So... Hi. So this first class, oh, here, I'll do my video.
Yeah.
So this first class that I'm teaching, it's on just quick and easy healthy things. And so I'm doing a lot like with wraps and so forth and the fillings and things you can do. There I am. seeing the top of my head. Anyway, and so I'm just going to bring in some prepared things like with the wraps and so forth. Do you think it's better to do that or to actually make some things there? And this is a free class. I'm doing it with the library.
Make something in front of them, even if it's just assembling the wrap.
Right. I'm going to make like the pâtés and things like that. But I was going to bring in some pre-prepared wraps, like the paleo wraps. And I was going to show how you can do like the jicama or some, you know, thinly sliced zucchini, and you can wrap things up. I'm not doing the nori because this is Iowa. They're not going to do nori. Sorry.
Have the wraps already prepared, and like you said, the paleo wraps, the coconut wraps, have that resource listed for them to be able to order them. And another one that's great is olive leaves, and you could pre blend.
Oh, yep.
And then yep. Just tell people how easy it is to do. You don't have to show them how to do that.
Exactly. Okay, but great.
A lot of people don't like nori, so we might.
Yeah, especially.
Yeah, no. not in Iowa. We're not doing nori. In fact, I'm going to use some of the Napa cabbage and just even romaine and iceberg lettuce because
that's what you got.
It's green.
Yeah.
I know my audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, careful on the cabbage only because sometimes people can't digest it that well. And
even the Napa?
Well, Napa's better, but I just know okay. Sometimes with cabbage people feel like
right.
They think you can blame it on the food. And
right.
It depends on your audience. If people like you.
Yeah, yeah. They've all got livers that need to be cleaned, but.
It's great that you got that opportunity, though, up in that neck
of the woods. Exactly. Yeah. I'm happy they asked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. It looks like we could see June and Patty was just on a minute ago. I don't see her anymore, but there's Cassandra. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I thought this was really great. It gave me some ideas because I'm always doing seasonal detoxes, and I thought, oh, how great to just do a class around that and have like different liquids, you know, juices and smoothies and broths and teaching people. So I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. I mean, just seeing you do the class was really beneficial. Some of those tips, I didn't even think about like cafeteria trays. I'm like, oh, note to self. So I just want to say thank you.
Great. Thank you, Cassandra.
Sometimes you don't know, like you're doing it in silence. So it's good to get the feedback.
Yeah, thanks. Great. Anybody else? I see June, and who else do I see on camera? I saw Patty a minute ago, but she's gone. Patty, you do a lot of classes. How is this for you? Okay. Last chance.
Thank you.
See me again. Can you see me?
Patty, yeah. Hi.
Hi. It was awesome. Thank you for sharing. I'm running around doing like three different things at once, so I'm listening and cooking and doing a bunch of stuff, so. But yeah, it was really awesome. Good to listen to. Some good pointers on how to organize the classes and what to provide, making sure that you're set up for success, and then making sure that you're speaking to the audience and the people that are in the group was really good. Yeah.
Great.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for the feedback. All right. We're going to look to see if anybody typed anything in, and then we'll say our goodbyes. Yeah, there will be, there's definitely a recording, so we'll put it on the dashboard. Thrive Market, I wanted to thank you for reminding me about that. She mentioned Thrive Market. Well, Thrive Market was one of our sponsors, and so they gave everybody a membership, a year, free year membership, so now it'll give you incentive to go out there and use it. I will tell you that before our event, when I went out to Thrive Market, I'm like, I need tea for all these people. This hotel doesn't have any organic tea, so I just ordered like hundreds of dollars worth of tea, you know, for like $3 a box. So it was really good, as opposed to having to go down and trudge to every store in town to try to find tea. So it's a really great option. They also have the paleo wraps, and they have a lot of really good stuff.
And their paleo wraps are a lot cheaper than
online. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Out a lot of the stuff that I talked about today, it's all on Thrive.
Yes, yes. And some other options for buying stuff, like some of the herbs and things. I like Z Natural Foods. They have a lot of, we didn't talk a lot about that, but when you're making your recipes, if you wanted to do elixirs and put some of the mushroom powders and all that in it. And of course, Mountain Rose herbs for some of the herbs. That's where I always get my herbs, you know, instead of buying those little containers at the store for $3, you get a big pound of it. And yeah. Yeah, good stuff. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It's so great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
And we'll schedule something else coming up this winter and do something, another, like I like that time that we did that cooking class. And you.
Oh, yeah, let's do another one. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do another one. We'll talk about that. Yeah. And how can, what's the best place for them to find, just give them your website and if there's a special website for the practitioners.
Well, my website is purejoyplanet.com, and it's just elena@purejoyplanet.com if you want to email me.
Perfect. Thank you very much, everybody. I'll unmute everybody so everybody can say a big goodbye. Let me see if I can figure out how to do that, though. How do you do that? This is unmute all. There we go. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
I got your media thing, and I was trying to look at that.